translation in purple. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Gaur Nitai ki. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada ki. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada, Devala and Vyas, and by other demigods like Indra, Chandra and Varuna, invisibly approached the room of Devaki, where they all joined in offering their respectful obeisances and prayers to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bestow blessings upon everyone. Purport. Dvau bhuta sargau loke smin daiva asura eva cha. Padma Purana. There are two classes of men, the daivas and the asuras, and there is a great difference between them. Kamsa, being an asura, was always planning how to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his mother Devaki. Thus, he was also Krishna conscious. But devotees are Krishna conscious favorably. Vishnu bhakta smrito daivaha. Brahma is so powerful that he is in charge of creating an entire universe, yet he personally came to receive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhava, Lord Shiva, is always jubilant in chanting the holy name of the Lord. And what to speak of Narada? Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Nami. Narada Muni is always chanting the glories of the Lord, and his engagement is to travel all over the universe and find a devotee or make someone a devotee. Even a hunter was made a devotee by the grace of Narada. Srila Sanatan Goswami, in his Tosani, says that the word Narada Adibhi means that Narada and the demigods were accompanied by other saintly persons like Sanaka and Sanatana, all of whom came to congratulate or welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though Kamsa was planning to kill Devaki, he too awaited the arrival of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratikshams tash janma. Om Agyana Chimirandasha Janandana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swampatantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaivacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, so basically two kinds of people. Demigods and demons. And we're the demigods. That's the good news. We say, always remember Krishna and never forget him. And that's great. But then maybe favorably should be kind of, that's a given, right? Because Kamsa is constantly thinking about Krishna, but it's not exactly favorably. And that's why he is having a hard time. Whereas the demigods, they're approaching and they're, you know, in the right mood, you could say. So, the main thing is where we put ourselves, you know. Maharaj was very nicely explaining yesterday how, first, you think you're the center, then you think God is the center, and then you figure out that, wait a minute, actually it's the other devotees that are the center of attention. So if this is our mood, then we can approach Krishna favorably and get his blessings, right? This says here, they all joined in offering their respectful obeisances and prayers to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bestow blessings upon everyone. And that's basically what we want. So what we're dealing with here is devotee appreciation, right? That in a more neophyte state or beginning stages of our spiritual life, we would see devotees as advanced or not so advanced, depending on how much they kind of help me in my devotional service. Whereas in a later stage, we would not see it like that. It would be more like we just approach them as if they are pure devotees, and then we worry about our own advancement, whether or not we're actually able to help them. Does that make sense? It goes the other way. So that's what we're trying to do, is to actually divert our attention away from ourselves and over to the devotees, to serving the devotees. Before you become a devotee, you have an outlook that is self-centered, that's centered around what's in it for me. Hare Krishna. And as you become a devotee, see, everyone becomes a devotee. That's the great news. That because everything material is temporary, everything spiritual is eternal. So as you're going about your material life, every time you do something that's favorable to Krishna, unknowingly it may be, that gives you an eternal benefit. Whenever you do something that's selfish, directed at yourself, you get a temporary problem. So it's just a matter of time before this, we call it agyata sukriti, this unknown spiritual benefit. It accumulates, and then at some point it kind of topples the load. The material load gets toppled by this spiritual, unknown spiritual benefit. So you don't even have to want to become a devotee. You will become a devotee at some point. It's just a matter of time. Does that make sense? That all the negative reactions are temporary, but all the spiritual benefit that you get, just, I mean, a devotee is walking down the street, he looks kind of weird and silly, and you kind of smile, and Krishna. So you've said Krishna. So that gives you an eternal result. And at some point, you look at the Ratha Yatra, whatever it is, maybe a monk is distributing a book, something, and you think, well, I mean, they seem like they're having fun, so why not check it out, you know? We have devotees who just join like that. They just see a Ratha cart coming by, and they just follow and end up at the temple, and then they're joined. So that's some agyata sukriti that's been building up, you know, and for others it's a little more like coming and going a little bit, and you know, you see it, check it out, and then slowly it builds. But the breaking point is when you start acting deliberately. Like when you make that decision, I'm gonna take a book from this devotee, I'm gonna follow this rat card and see where the heck are they going? You know, are they just going round and round? Or are they? Of course, we're going back to Godhead. We take a few detours once in a while, but that's where we're going. And the more they follow us, the more they will be going in that same direction. So that's where we really need to unleash the appreciation, right? That when someone new joins, we have to appreciate that like anything. Not that we start by discussing their bad habits, you know, or the way they dress or whatever it might be. That's not even a topic of discussion. And it shouldn't be. I mean, okay, if you move into the ashram, then maybe if you come wearing baggy pants to Mangalarati, then we can start talking about that's maybe not ideal. But for anyone else, these externals will happen automatically. That's the brilliant thing about it. If you just trust them, and if you just treat them like friends, and you just advise them on the positive aspects of devotional service, suddenly out of nowhere, they're going to come to you and say, I've stopped eating meat. Because they'll figure it out themselves. Now, if we focus on the externals, that no, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing this, that's like you're new already, and some random person comes and said you shouldn't be doing that, you're going to feel like everything you're doing is wrong or up for scrutiny at least. So that's not the approach. The approach is to talk to the soul. This is why Prabhupada could speak to anyone, right? He didn't care about like what he was dealing with in the Bauer district in the late 60s, early 70s. Not exactly sattvic environment, you know, but he didn't care because he was talking to the soul. The soul is transcendental. It's not a matter of being a devotee or not. The soul is transcendental. The question is how, to what extent are you identifying with the material elements? If you're identifying fully with the material elements, I am my body, I'm here to enjoy, that means you're a materialist. That's the ism of matter, right? Now, if you, on a theoretical level, understand, okay, I'm not this body, even though I have a very intimate relationship with it, then you would call yourself a sadhaka, right? A devotee, but under the jurisdiction of sadhana, because you're not completely self-realized. You have knowledge, but you don't have realized knowledge. It's not gone to the vijnan level. So there are rules, but you accept the rules on your own, You know, it's not like someone kind of forces them upon you. No, you accept them because you know that what I'm doing now is not going to help me. I have a lot of bad ideas in my head, and if I let those ideas roam free, they're going to take me to bad places. That's kind of the definition of bad ideas. They're leading in bad directions. So therefore, suddenly we come to whoever we consider the authority and say, look, I've stopped clubbing in the weekends, you know, because we know that it's a good thing to stop clubbing it in the weekend if we want to make spiritual benefit. You know, it's described like if you want to go for a ride in your car, it's best to not have the handbrake pulled. You know, that's just, it works better like that. So these bad habits are like brakes on our spiritual life. So we want to get rid of them. And that happens automatically when the higher taste comes. So you give something lower up for something higher. So, yeah, like a child gives up eating mud because now he's got some Legos. There's more to deal with. You know, you got some creativity going on. The mud is not really going to do it for you. So in that sense, we should treat our spiritual life in the same way. It should be joyfully performed. And the austerities that we perform should be done only as long as we know it's going to bring us closer to Krishna. Does that make sense? As some, we were talking about yesterday how yogis, they have this very austere sadhana sometimes. Now, it may be that you are controlling the gross body, but you're not controlling the subtle body because I'm doing it. Yes, this is really some powerful sadhana I'm doing here. And the result is that you feel superior to others. It doesn't soften the heart, and that's where we want to go. The only reason that we want to be austere is because it's leading us in a bad direction. It doesn't, I mean, on its own, it doesn't do anything. It's not like Krishna likes austerity. It's not what he's exactly famous for, you know. So he's stealing all sorts of things and doing all sorts of mischief. But we should be doing it with him, with knowledge of him, with remembrance of him fondly. So the reason we're asked to be austere is because our mindset, it's the subtle body we're trying to deal with. It's not the gross body. That's just the tool. So we're trying to figure out the subtle body that it's pointing in the wrong direction, right? So it goes from subtle to gross, and we want to make it from subtle to actually transcendental. We want to go the other way. So that's all the austerity is. So we need the higher taste. That's, we always need to add something to our lives because we're spiritual, and spiritual means expansion. Everything spiritual is always expanding. Krishna has so many qualities he cannot even fathom them himself. He doesn't even know his own qualities. That's how abundant it is, and it keeps expanding. You know, we know it also from our daily spiritual lives that we have, like in the beginning, it's very difficult to chant, and maybe it's not. Maybe it actually is a little bit of a nuisance. But then, as we progress, it becomes easier, and we actually get more benefit from it. Right? So, with exercise, you could say something like the same thing, but it has a limit. If you keep pushing your material body, it's not healthy anymore. Actually, professional athletes are not really considered healthy, because they're pushing the material body too much. It's not meant for that. Only spiritual can kind of keep expanding like that. So that's a natural tendency for us to not be satisfied with a fixed amount or something like that. So that creates a problem if we want to be austere, because it goes against our transcendental nature. That no, I'm going to take away this or that habit, or I'm going to stop doing that. That's not going to be productive. We know, like I was using the example of my mother who stopped smoking 20 times. You know, I mean, she stopped smoking 20 times every day, basically, because she was thinking of it as stopping an activity. Now, the moment she started thinking about it as adding health to her life, being more healthy, more, then it worked, right? So that's how we are supposed to look at it, that no, I want more spiritual. I want more absorption in Krishna. I want to understand these stories better. I want more. Therefore, I'm not going to go clubbing it, because you can't do so many things at a time. We're very limited. So whatever we do, we have to compromise. So then there's no time for that. Then automatically it kind of drops away. And that's how we progress steadily, right? And so we always add something to our life. And we should treat others like that also. We should always add to other people's lives. We always have difference of opinions, you know. We're different in conditioning, and that means we view things from different ways. Shastra, there is no difference of opinion. There are no contradictions. There are apparent contradictions because there are different places. You know, you want to go to the same place, but if you are placed at two different sides of that place you want to go, you have to go in opposite directions. So if you don't realize that, then it seems like, no, it's two different answers. Well, because it's two different situations, but we're all going towards the same place. That's the point. So there are apparent, that's why we need Guru. You know, Guru is good. He's self-realized and he understands what is this situation you're in. So he can guide us. We also need sadhu, because anything that goes on in the spiritual world is consciousness. So that means associating with devotees is all there is. So if you have a hard time associating with devotees, you're going to have a pretty hard time in the spiritual world, because that's all there is, right? So this whole thing that, no, we can do the... someone once said, no, but Prabhupada says you don't even need an institution. You can do this process, works on your own. And it does. That's true. However, part of that process is that you become soft-hearted. You develop appreciation of the devotees, and then you will associate. It's only the initial step that you can do it on your own. Then you're going to change your mind and say, oh, they're actually a pretty nice bunch, these devotees. I think I'm going to go and associate with them, right? So the whole thing, you can do it on your own. Yeah, to a certain level, but you can't enter into the spiritual world without associating with devotees, because that's what the spiritual world is made of. So, you know, that's the second, the sadhu. And then, of course, Shastra. Everything is explained in Shastra. We have, you were explaining nicely yesterday evening about how these stories in the Shastra are strategically put so that they can elevate us towards where we want to go, Goloka Vrindavan, right? So there are all these different variations of material situations we can be in, or situations that are in some way tainted by a slight diversion in consciousness. They are dealt with here, and then we see how they either go in the right direction or in the wrong direction, and then we know, should we be doing this or not, right? But sometimes it can be difficult to place ourselves in the Bhagavatam. Where am I? You know, what story is actually relevant for me? And we see that in our movement, that very often we see things that are, I mean, if you've studied the Shastra a little bit, you see that things are taken way out of context. They're quoting Shastra, but they're not understanding the mood. So that's what Shastra means. It doesn't mean I have an opinion, I have something I want done, and therefore I'll cherry-pick all the quotes I can find that are going to support my view, and I'm going to string them together and post that on Facebook and say, look, it's Shastrically proven that whatever I want done, that's actually offensive, right? Because you have a mood. There is a certain point to this. It's not just a compilation of excuses to do whatever you want. There's an actual point to this. It's a science. So when you have certain points going in one direction, certain points going in another direction, we have to be real. Otherwise, we're not going to make progress. It's not like, I don't care. People can do whatever they want. It's not like I'm trying to, you know, say to people, do. But it's just, if you want to progress, you want to do it right, you want to make sure that you actually understand what is it actually the book is trying to tell me, right? Then we'll get out. And that's the great thing, that, and that's why there are so many stories, is there are innumerable ways out. You know, they're all leading towards the same place, but there are so many ways of doing it. It doesn't mean necessarily, if someone is doing devotional service in a different way than me or you or someone else, then they're doing it wrong. That's the problem. Like we have, that's jalpa, basically. That's the word prajalpa is derived from the word jalpa. It just means that you are affiliated with karmakanda. You have a certain thing you want to achieve, and you're going to try to establish that point using shastra, using logic, whatever you can get your hands on. You're going to use that to establish your own point. We should be looking at it from the level of what's called bada, which is a discussion. Now, a discussion is characterized by both parties want to achieve the same result. It's, in the West, you also call it creative discussion, that you're actually trying to reach the truth. What is actually the best solution here? Not that just it's warfare, and I have one opinion, you have another opinion, and we're just going to go at it and start shooting slokas at each other. That's not what's really the mood of the Bhagavatam, you know. That no, we should all be interested in cooperating, you know, to try and get out together, because that's how you get in. That's what's happening in the spiritual world, that everyone's cooperating. In the material world, everyone is exploiting each other. That's the characteristic of the material world. I mean, technically, there is no material world. There is only our perception of the world as material, because we see it as separate from Krishna, that we see it as, no, there's something for Krishna, then there's something for me. And that thing for me is what I'm going to fight for. That's what material is made of. So then if that's your mood, then it's jalpa, you know. It's empty talk. It's useless. And it's not going to get us anywhere. So it's not even a discussion. We often hear, you know, devotees, no, but it's important to have the discussion. Okay, but let's make sure that it's actually a discussion we're having. That it's not just, you know, my opinion or I have my emotions, I want to get out, and everyone else, if they're cooperating, they're on the truth, and if not, they're bogus, you know. It's amazing how we can see that everyone else is subjective, and yet we think that we ourselves are objective. That's the most fascinating thing for me to watch. So the right mood, and that's the active ingredient in devotee appreciation, is humility, right? That you're acknowledging, no, I may not know the absolute truth. I may be sitting in front of it here, but I can hardly deal with one sloka. What to speak of millions of slokas you can speak, you know, and Antashesh is incapable of counting the glories of the Lord, and Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva can't do it, and the Lord himself can't do it. It's unlimited. So how will I know the absolute truth? But I know a little bit, and I can try and relate that. And if someone disagrees, I should accept that, right? We can have the discussion, but we should be sure that it's a discussion we're having, that it's not just goes into this jalpa, or even worse, vitanda, as we were discussing the other day. Vitanda just means you're just trying to destroy the other person. You're not even trying to establish your own point anymore. It's just, he's a nonsense, he disagrees with me, I'm going to try and destroy him, right? So then that's demoniac, if anything, right? So we want to try and reach that level of goodness where we're actually trying to cooperate, to go together in the right direction. That's where we're advancing real quick. When we are taking responsibility for the welfare of others. See, one thing is not taking responsibility for yourself. Okay, that's bad. Then you can take responsibility for yourself. That's good. But even better is taking responsibility for others, right? That's the real devotees. Those who see that, those who are in the books as the real devotees, they're not concerned about themselves. They're concerned about others. So that's where we want to go. It's a difficult thing when you come from a material upbringing, right? So, but at least if we can appreciate it, then it will develop. Anything we focus on develops, right? So that's how we do it. And we can do it in so many ways. Like, yeah, we have the Varnashram system, you know, so many divisions are there so that we can position ourselves according to our acquired nature, right? Prabhupada talks about constitutional nature and acquired nature. Constitutional nature, of course, being just servant of God. And if you're on that level, it just means whatever needs doing, that's what you the most would like to do. Now, that's obviously a pretty high level of devotional service, that your favorite activity is just what needs to be done. That you would have to say that's pretty flexible and that's pretty advanced. But we can also work with less. That, no, okay, we have these basic four mentalities of seeking knowledge, seeking shelter of knowledge, shelter of righteousness, shelter of expansion, or, you know, productivity, you could say, or taking shelter of just security, just doing your duty. We have these four varnas: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. And so according to where we kind of are, we can take shelter of those. And it's really simple. You just assume that you're the Shudra. Because that, what does the Shudra do? He does service. That's the humility is taken care of. The appreciation of devotees is taken care of. All the good qualities that we need as devotees are taken care of by just being a good Shudra. Now, what's going to happen if you have the tendencies of the other three varnas is that automatically you're going to gravitate towards those activities, and people, devotees, will let you because you're good at it. But the thing is, with the Vaishya, Kshatriya, and Brahmana, the only thing that makes them Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana is that they will accept the activities of a Shudra. Does that make sense? That if you need to get the floor washed, or you need to take the boxes out to the bins or something, they will be ready to do it. If they're not, then they're not on that level. You know, because they can only reach that level because they understand the priority of what needs to be done. Right? That a real leader, he does more than the subjects, and a boss, he just sits and bosses people around, right? That's not what we're talking about. So if we just assume, no, I'm just the suitor, I'm just the servant, like Prabhupada says, I'm fifth class, and I'm the servant of all the varnas. That's what makes us higher when we say that Vaishnava is above the varnashram. That's what makes them higher, is that they think that they're lower. That's the trick of material. It's turned upside down. So sometimes we hear devotees say, no, we're Vaishnavas, we're above varnashram. See, that means they're under, they're lower. If they say, no, I'm just trying to serve the varnas, that means they're higher. Right? Does that make sense? That we see the wheel of karma goes, when you have high thoughts about yourself, that's when you're going down. And when you're down and you think, oh, I'm useless, I can't do anything right. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Ananda ki. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanumana ki. Gornitai ki. And when you're completely down in the gutter, you start thinking, I'm useless, I can't do anything right. Oh my God, I have to change something. And then you start getting the good results because you're humble. So our mentality and our physical situations kind of, what's the word? Yo-yo, up and down like that. So if we can get some knowledge, Bhagavad Gita says you learn either by karma or by jnana. It's easier if you do it by jnana because you don't have to go through it and get the punches. So if you develop that knowledge that, no, I'm actually not that great a guy, you know, I'm not that big of a person, I'm just trying to serve, then you will progress. And the longer you can maintain that mentality, the more you will progress. And before you know it, you're shaking hands with Barack Obama, like Radhanath Swami or something. It's because he doesn't think of himself as great. He just keeps progressing. And that's how the Vaishnava is above the varnas. It doesn't mean you don't have to follow the varnas. It means that you're looking at it as service. You're serving the varnas because you're just serving. So you can do anything. So there's sometimes we hear, like, you know, there's different opinions about the ashrams. Like sannyas gets some, they sometimes get a little bit of flack. And sometimes it's like when we talk about grihastha ashram, we almost, it sounds like it's a mistake, isn't it? That happens sometimes. When it's clearly, it can be, how you deal with it can be right or wrong, but it's not a mistake, it's a bona fide ashram, right? So you have to deal with it properly. That's where it's either a mistake or not. So you, first of all, you have to tell your brahmachari friends before you enter into grihastha ashram. We learned that yesterday. Praveen, he was very disappointed. So, but you have to deal with it like what it is. So, like anything is like that. You know, I'm not the knife, so I'm going to use it as a hairdryer. You deal with it properly, and that means you transcend. You're not attached to it. You just deal with it what it is. So grihastha life is a place where you expand. You have job, you have house, family. You serve the family as if it's Krishna's family. And then you help the community. That's the great thing about grihasthas, is that they have all the facility. The brahmacharis don't have a lot of facility. So then the brahmacharis, they can spend their time studying, they can spend their time doing RITs and pujas and stuff like that, going out on books and expanding the mission of Srila Prabhupada and these things, because they don't have a lot of other stuff they need to take care of. And in that sense, we can cooperate. So that's the key point. The key point is not making everything the same. Does that make sense? Oh, we're above these things, so anyone can just do anything. Technically, that's true, but we should deal with the different things as what they are. So feminine conditioning is different from masculine conditioning, and therefore, there is a tendency that women would prefer some activities, men would prefer some other activities. That's not a problem. The problem is if we start to value them as objectively better or worse than each other. No, it's just a matter of dealing with them correctly and cooperating, you know, cooperation. If we do like that, then it adds, you see, in the 10th canto, you see everyone is doing their duty according to their body. Not that they think they are the body, because they don't think about that. They just think about Krishna. But Mother Yashoda, she doesn't go to the pastures with the cowherd boys. She could. She's transcendental. She could do whatever she wants. But she doesn't, because that's not the flavor. That's not the rasa. It wouldn't fit. The boys are there and Mother Yashoda is coming, kicking a ball and running all over. There's something wrong, you know. It doesn't really fit. So we can do whatever we want. And when there's emergency or if there's a need, we will do whatever we want. But better to do whatever we are kind of inclined to and then cooperate. The problem is we come from a material background where we're not cooperating, where we're thinking about ourselves and we're thinking about how can I exploit and how can I enjoy. And when you have that situation, then you can make some external adjustments that, like, if anyone is liberated, that means they're free to do whatever they want, then they won't be dependent on others and then they won't be exploited so much. But wouldn't it be better if we fixed that mentality of exploitation rather than fix the externals? Like, no, now anyone could do whatever. That we actually try to look at ourselves as servants. That we actually try and look at ourselves as below the sutra. That would make us higher. Because then everything will work out. We're just trying to serve each other. Everything will happen very nicely. And there'll be not so much to get fried out about. You know, so it's a process that we're trying to, you know, move from where we were to where we want to go, and that's the process. That's what it is, that we're trying to, through sadhana and through association, the right association, to move our consciousness from this, no, we have to control, then we will be happy, and move it to, I want to serve, and then everyone else will be happy, and then finally, not even thinking about I will be happy. If you don't think about, am I happy, that means you're completely happy. Right? Does that make sense? So this is what is given to us in Shastra, and it's given to us in a completely scientific way. Problem is, our mind, we speculate too much, and the mind is, yeah, it's not exactly our best friend. It's conditioned, and that means it's dualistic. So it has a tendency to move the goalposts. So like I was in New York, and about a year ago I was doing some pujari service at the Bhakti Center over there, and I'm doing the noon Rajboga and arati, and so I'm cleaning the kitchen and I open the cupboard, and there's a whole box of maha, you know. And a real box. And immediately, these two, good kadamba, bad kadamba, comes up, right, on each shoulder. And bad kadamba says, take it. Take the whole box, eat it now, take it. You know you want to, nobody's here, nobody's going to find out, just take it. And good kadamba says, don't take the whole box. You know, don't take the box, it's not, don't take the, just take three. Then nobody will notice anyone's missing, and you can keep doing it every day. So, yeah, you can say what you will about good kadamba, but he's good. So I went with good kadamba. And I kind of sneaked sweets out for 6 weeks every lunch. And I'm using this example because it's maha, so I can't get in trouble. There are no rules about it.
But the point being that when you have this mentality, I mean, this speculation, you have good and bad, it's relative. So how good is good before, it's just that one of them is a little bit better than the other, then he becomes good Kadamba. It's not that he's actually, I'm still nicking the sweets, you know. So we justify ourselves like that, and it becomes very convincing. Why? Because we're attached. I'm attached to sweets. I said it. So we have to use Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and we have to know what that means to use Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. It's not that we just find where someone's stealing Mahasweet, someone's stealing Mahasweet. No. We read Bhagavatam every day. We read Prabhupada's books, and we try to contemplate what is it he actually wants us to know. Right? Now, I'm still sure that I did the right thing with the Mahasweets. But sometimes you hear that devotees, they're clearly not reading. They're not reading the books because they don't understand the mood. And that's a problem. It's particularly a problem if you have very strong opinions about different issues. Does that make sense? Then you should at least know what it is you're talking about, because otherwise we end up in this Jalpa and Vitanda area. And it's very detrimental, especially to new devotees who come in, who don't know how it's working, and suddenly they're confronted with senior devotees throwing slokas at each other and stuff like that. No, we want to be humble. We want to be the servant of the four varnas. We want to read Prabhupada's books every day, and we want to steal maha. I was told I had to stop sharp today because there's some program, so I have 5 minutes left. I think if anyone has...